My life as a child, growing up with an unmedicated bipolar mother and knowing from an early age that I was bipolar, and just did not want to come to terms with that because I always strived to be the better mother than my mom was. And I did get lucky. I had a mom who was sometimes mom, and then I had my stepmom who did everything in her power to raise us. And we gave her so much hell. And she had plenty of opportunities to walk away, but she stuck through it. She seen us through our teenage years, our childhood years, and knew where we were come from, and she did the best she could possibly do. And without my stepmom, I would be who knows where, to be honest. My life and the way it is went gets big props to her. She was my mother. I had a birth mother who came in into my life, in and out, and really didn't consider what she was putting me and my brother through. Me and my brother are 4.5 years apart, and we were so close. For the longest, we had me and him. That was all we had. My mom, like, she kind of just left us here and there. She even went as far as to threaten my stepmom when her and my dad first got together that if she even looked at us the wrong way, much less disciplined us, that she was coming for her. And that fueled the flame to disrespect her and buck at her and put her through hell to try to get her to leave. And now that I'm an adult, I realize that she put up with a lot of bullshit. And now, in 2019, we are best friends. I don't know how many stepdaughters can say that they are best friends with their stepmom and would take a bullet for them. Because when my mom couldn't do it, she done it and didn't have to. My mom drilled it into our heads that she was just there to babysit us, and the only reason why her and my dad were together was because he needed somebody to raise his kids. And for a while, we fed into that. And me and my brother put her through hell. Pure hell. Trying to get rid of her. And through it all, she has stuck around and she has forgave us. And we are now, me and my brother are now the ones who drop everything for her. Her own kids doing their own things. And she loves them and she misses them. And it really hurts her feelings, honestly, to know that me and my brother, who are stepchildren, no blood relation, has more to do with her and will drop everything we have going on for her, and her own kids won't. She's raising my niece and nephew. And, I don't care about, like, what color a person is. They can be Mexican, they can be white, they can be black, they can be purple, green, orange. But if they change you into the person that's just like straight up ghetto and you lost all morals and you don't even know how to speak to your own family, that's a big problem. And I'm not bragging that me and my brother have more to do with her, but at the same time, it makes me feel good when she tells me, like, even through all the bullshit we've been through, we are still as close as we are. And to be honest, I go down and I spend a week at a time with my 4-year-old and leave my husband behind to fend for himself for a week, 2 weeks. I may never see my dad, but I don't go down there. Yes, I go down for my dad, but I go down there to comfort my stepmom and show her that yes, my dad is a full-time over-the-road truck driver and goes all over the United States, has been to every state except for Alaska. And it comforts him to know that somebody is there to comfort her and encourage her and help her and him in any way I can possibly can. And that's just a little backstory. It's really long, like I could go on and on, but I truly respect my stepmom. 'Cause she put up with so much from me and my brother, and at the end of the day, we are thick as thieves. So, I can say that this is gonna be a long podcast, may or may never be published, but if you're not in for it for the long haul, back out now. Don't listen. Whatever, because I'm giving my whole life experience to y'all. You don't know me. You don't know what it looked like. You don't know my name. I don't know y'all's name. And yes, I have a husband and I have a child. I have the best mom. I have the best stepmom. But sometimes it's just easier to be open and free with people you don't know who are going through the same things you are. So if you can help me, medication, mentally, like teach me how to like deal with life, this is for you. I'm going to tell you everything about me, and you decide whether you love me or you hate me, if you're here for the whole thing or if you're not. We may split this up in a couple of episodes, that's fine, I don't care. But I'm just looking for people who are like-minded and understand where I'm coming from. I mean, my husband, we met, he was like 19, 20, just turned 18. So, I mean, we were 18 getting together and we were 19 married. I was 19 pregnant, 20 when I had my baby. And I would never change him for the world. There is no regret. He was well thought about before we ever got married. We were trying for him before everything, before we talked about marriage, before we talked about the long run, before we anything. Like, we both knew we needed a child. We were ready. As young as we were, we knew we were ready. So, the way I see it right now is you can close this podcast Or you can listen to episode 2. So, we'll see. So, in my first podcast, you know, I kind of gave you an intro to my life. And explained a little bit about my situation. And bragged a lot about my stepmom. But I totally respect her. She did not have to do a quarter of what she done with us. For us. And she still done it. And she still loved us just as much as she loved her own kids. And I totally respect her. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. Bipolar disorder. I knew from a very early age that something wasn't right. You know, I didn't have the same thoughts as my fellow classmates or people my age. Like, I was really grown. Like, you know, my mom struggled. Like, I was a mom's girl for the first 5 years of my life. You know, I slept in the bed with her. I protected her. I made sure at 4 or 5 years old, it's a big responsibility to take on, but I made sure my mom was okay. And I always knew that if something got too out of hand, as young as I was, I knew how to go about the situation. I always knew that I could call my dad and tell him what was going on and tell him I was hungry or tell him, you know, I'm just not being paid enough attention to. And my dad always rescued me. He always. He's a full-time truck driver, flatbed, hauls granite. That's like his main description. But, I mean, he hauls all kind of other shit. But even my dad being states away or whatever, you know, I always knew from a young age, like, call my daddy. He'll save me. If daddy can't save me, he'll send somebody to get me. Like, my dad was my Superman, my Batman, my Spider-Man. Like, he was my hero. Although, I was deeply a mama's girl. You know, like, situations came up, had a choice. I always chose my mom, and I was stuck up her butt and was included into a lot of adult situations that at my age at the time I should have never had to go through. But, you know, everybody has a path in life and it goes as planned and it's not in your control and God only gives you what you can handle, and he might test you, and he might make you feel like you're breaking, but you'll always, as long as you believe in God, make it through it. You know, I was young. I grew up with my grandma taking me to Sunday school, and yada, 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 and, you know, really into church, and I was Pentecostal. And for a lot of people, like, Pentecostal is just, like, psycho. It's not. But to the outside world, like, you would look at Pentecostal people as mentally deranged people. Because the way I was raised, like, you went to Sunday school and, you know, you might go and sit in the main church for a little while, but when it got time for adult learning, We went to Sunday school and we colored pictures or we read stories or arts and crafts or whatever. We never were allowed to stay in main church with the adults because it was always deciphered like what a child should know and be a part of and what they shouldn't. And funny story, when me and my husband met, we had planned like this whole outdoor wedding. Why I took it upon myself to plan this extravagant outdoor go perfectly wedding in 3 weeks is beyond me. It was an impossible challenge. And, I've heard wise tales about, if it rains on your wedding day, it means you're gonna last longer and you'll have better life because rain is like the worst thing to happen on your wedding day. But us, we had planned for 3 to 4 weeks and we wanted a beautiful outside wedding at his mom's place. There was plenty of room, but it rained all December that year. And we made it till about, middle ways December, and we were just like, it's raining so much, it hasn't let up. Like, it's time to think about plan B. And we kind of upset his mom because she was so looking forward to the wedding that we planned because it was her wedding that she wanted, and she was getting to live it through us, and like I could totally understand how excited she was. But we also had to look out for not only our wedding day, but our guests and how comfortable they were. So I take my husband to the church I grew up my whole life. I'm used to it. Like, falling out and speaking in tongues and not knowing what you're saying. Like, I was used to that all my life. Craig came from, I won't say Baptist, but he came from like more conservative. They didn't hoot and holler, and it was just conservative. Me, I was raised in outgoing, nobody cares what you're wearing. As long as you showed up, you could be in a stained shirt and blue jeans that hadn't been washed in 3 months, and nobody was gonna say anything. As long as you were there to learn and better yourself. That's all anybody cared about. So, I wanted the, I guess you could call it evangelist, or he was a preacher and he came from a background that was not like all holier than thou, he made mistakes, blah blah blah. And he was the main speaker at my church, but he was not the preacher and he traveled. So, evangelist or whatever. He was amazing. I've been around him since I was born. And he doesn't give you that vibe of he's judging you and you have to watch what you say. Like, you can say anything to him and he would listen and he would know how to respond because he came from a pretty rough background. I wanted him to marry us. Just so happened the weekend that we were getting married was the same weekend that his mother was having like a 90 something birthday, and they were gonna do a surprise. Now, she's old as my great grandma was, and she was on a downward spiral way before my great grandma was. She was the pianist for the church, my great grandma. She's still alive, and I can walk up to this wonderful lady who has been through a lot, not family. I can walk up to her, and she knows who I am, and she loves me. She hugs me. She embraces me. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, back to the story. So I take Craig, who is pretty much Baptist, no denomination, holiness type, not quite as outgoing as Pentecostal. And I take him, and like the only reason we go is because I didn't want to just like walk up to the preacher and like, yo, can we use your church? I don't come here ever, but you watch me grow up and it's my grandma's church. Can I use it? No. I went to church, I listened, I embraced, and halfway through, my husband taps me and he was like, I love you. And yes, we'll get married in this church, but please don't ever bring me back. Like, these people are falling out. They're talking stuff I don't know. And it's awkward for him. But he bit and grinned with it. And we ended up having our wedding 2 weeks later. It was the preacher's first wedding. And, we all learned from the situation. I was not happy with how it went down. And she also learned what to do and what not to do on the next one. Like, but the reason why I was so unhappy is because my favorite person in the world, the most relatable preacher, holy person I knew and wanted to do it, he couldn't do it. But I fully understood he had his mama's birthday. Like, she's not gonna have much longer. Like, I would have done the same thing. But, like, what I'm getting at is my family is very welcoming and will always look for the good in somebody, and they're never there to bash you. And my husband, if he was here, he'd tell you, like, my family embraces him and loves him more and has more to do with him and loves him more than me. And his family treats him like the black sheep, the outcast. Like, they pretend like he was the only boy and he was the best and blah, blah, blah. And I come along, never done anything in my life to them, never gave them the wrong impression, nothing. And they automatically hate me. Okay, granted, he's the only boy. There's like seven sisters. Blah, blah, blah. We're not telling Craig's life story, we're telling mine. But I come in fresh, never said anything disrespectful, never done anything. And I get attitude. I get talked about. I get dogged. And the biggest thing, and she know it irks me, she will respond to everybody else in the room but me. And I've literally never done anything to her at all. She's just a stepmom. You know what I'm saying? And I feel more judged by her. I've never disrespected her. I've never raised my voice at her. I've never bucked at her. I've never, in any shape, form, or fashion, just been outright rude. I've bent over backwards to make this woman like me, and she hates me. I mean, she truly does. She tries to put on a front. She tries to play like she's the better person and do things, but she can do that and be buddy buddy with you, and then you leave in 10 minutes. She's talking about you. She's calling, gossiping. But she knows the main thing that gets to me is like speaking to my son or speaking to my husband, you see I'm standing right there in your face, and you can't even say hey. You kind of like shrug me off and give me eat shit looks. So, me and my husband, we've came to the mutual agreement. Like, he doesn't force me to go to his family things. He knows where I'm coming from. He does ask me and try to persuade me, but he'll never like force me. And I love him for that. And I love the fact, I joke with him and I play like I'm mad or whatever, and telling my family likes you more than me. But it's true. My great grandma, my dad's side, very Christian woman, her daughter, my grandma, my granny, my mom's side, like my grandma, he goes and cuts her grass all summer. Like, they embraced him. They never pushed him. They never judged him. They never made him feel bad or anything. So he fully understands where I'm coming from. But kind of long-winded and bouncing back and forth, but we get married, and even before we ever get married, we talk about having a kid, and this is where we'll go into episode 3. Maybe we won't bounce and get off subject. Hey guys, this is part 2. Introduction was pretty long. Not too long. And then episode 1 kind of bounced and really might not understand where any of that went. But guys, I'm bipolar. I'm finally to that point. I can admit that to not only jokingly saying it to people I know, but like I can, in my heart and soul, tell you I am bipolar. I know it. And I'm learning just like everybody else. So help, 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 help. Tell me how to deal with life with bipolar. So me and Craig get married, and before we ever get married, we're trying for a kid. His mom has even gotten to the point she's gonna pay for us to go to the doctor because it's taking far too long for her. She wanted grandbaby, and she wanted it now. I don't blame her. Like, I don't. It was weird, but I knew what she was saying. She knew no matter how much she didn't feel like I was good enough for her son, like any mother thinks, she knew we were in it for the long run, and she knew we were meant to have babies together, and she encouraged. She was the only one that encouraged us. Like, his mother was the best role model and the best influencer and the best everything. Even though I was with her son, I could get mad and run away and not tell him where I'm at, and could tell her, don't tell him. If he calls you, I'm not here. Don't tell him. And I could vent to her about her own son, and she would still like reason and make everything logical and explain. She was the woman I strive to be. And I say was because 4 years ago, October 29th, she passed away. Well, 5. I was pregnant. I was still pregnant with my son. She was the first one I ever told. She went to health department with me. She was there. every step of the way. And she was more excited than me and Craig were about this baby. Like, already came to the conclusion in my head, like, she's gonna want him all the time, and like, we're gonna be fighting for visitation. Like, I'm literally gonna fight over my own child just to be able to spend time with him because she wanted him so bad. She was so excited. More excited than Craig's dad and stepmom, more excited than my parents. Like, my parents just thought I was just fucking my life up, and they respected Craig, and they seen, you know, what he put me to, like, what he pushed me to be, but they also thought, oh no, it's just another bullshit relationship. It's not going anywhere. So, you know, I was wild and did a lot of things I shouldn't have. That's a whole nother episode. But his mama, no matter what, no matter her feelings towards me, no matter anything, she was so excited for this baby. And I loved her to death. She didn't think I did. You know, she had her grudge, like, because as a mother, nobody in this world will ever be good enough for your son. And I came in with this attitude, and I was independent, and I didn't need nobody, and I was, and she didn't like that. She did, but she didn't. Like, she felt like I was suffocating her son, and I was not the best choice for him. Now, if she was still alive to this day, like, she would probably tell you the same thing. I feel deep down she would tell you the same exact thing. You know what I mean? Like, because I've pushed Craig to build and be better and take chances and just go with the flow instead of being comfortable. I've tried to teach him never get comfortable, because there's always going to be a better opportunity out there for you as a person to grow and for our family. Like, you'll know. And I've encouraged him. I pushed him. I don't take 100% credit for where he's at, because, like, he has better work ethic than anybody in this world that I've ever been with, me, like, anything. Like, he's gonna make sure at the end of the day that his wife and his child are fed and not starving. And I love that. I respect that. Like, he might not have the most manly job, by no means, but he works hard. And whatever he does, he excels, and he tries to go above and beyond. And he has, in every aspect, job, relationship, parenthood, everything, he's the best daddy you could ever ask for. I love my husband. He knows that. He also knows we've hit rough patches. But it took a long time to get him to understand that I was bipolar. Not the bipolar that everybody likes to joke and play around about, and, oh, yeah, all women are bipolar. No, like, I have a legit form. And he learned how to deal with me and when to leave me alone and not antagonize it, and when I needed my space, and when I needed just me alone, nobody else, he stepped up. He left me alone. He took over with the baby. I went through really bad postpartum. Didn't want to admit it. Didn't want to get help. And he stepped up where most fathers wouldn't. And I love him. He is the man of my life. He is my Superman. He is my comfort. He's not the sexiest person in the world to most people, but to me, he's 50 Shades of Grey, Mr. Grey. He's my security. He is my everything. And even not being the finest person in the world, to me, he is. A lot of people like, man, you know you could have picked somebody finer. No, I didn't care about what he looked like as long as that personality was on point. And he has everything I could ever ask for in a man. And I love him. Y'all, do you hear me? I love my husband, but I'm bipolar. So, no matter how much I love my husband, in the long run, he's always gonna question if he's enough, if he's making me happy, if he's supporting me, if he's doing the right way, yada, yada, yada. And it sucks. I don't want him to guess about himself and how he's performing and how good of a job he's doing, because I know my husband and he can know within the bottom of his heart he's doing everything the right way. But he's easily discouraged. And if you don't encourage him and remind him, he's gonna start wondering, am I enough? Am I doing what I need to do? Just like me. But it's hard to make people without bipolar disorder who hasn't seen it growing up to get them to understand that you love them with everything in you. But there's like this different person that lashes out, that will argue for no reason, that will get mad over little shit and be mad for a long time. Like, he doesn't understand. Like, and it's my fault because I hide a lot of stuff. I never let him see me weak, even though he's my husband and we've both cried on each other. I'm still the tough one. I still suck it up, and it doesn't matter what I'm going through. As long as my son and my husband are happy, I don't give a shit about me. And that's gonna change. Stay tuned for episode 4. Love you, guys. Share and respond and let me know what you think. If I need to change route or do something different, let me know. I need that. I take criticism really well. Thank you.